You're listening to KNKX. This next story is from our show, Sound Effect. Here's Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer.
The hospital is a major treatment center for people with mental illness, including those who have been involuntarily committed to inpatient care. That population tends to have especially complex issues and usually does not want to be there. So it takes a special kind of person to connect with those patients and understand what it's like to be in their position. A person, perhaps, who's been there themselves. In 2013, Harborview launched a peer bridger program, pairing up the patient with a peer who had once been hospitalized for mental illness. Sound Effect producer Kevin Kniestad went to Harborview to talk to some patients and peer bridgers. And a heads up, if you're sensitive to detailed conversations about mental health and you want to skip this story, it's about 8 minutes long.
When I get into a conference room at Harborview, there are two patients and two peer bridgers waiting to talk to me. But just by looking at them, it's kind of hard to tell who's who. There are no lab coats or patient gowns like you might picture in a normal hospital setting. Everyone's wearing normal clothes, and all of them greet me the same, with a smile and a warm handshake. And in the case of Amy Hasegawa, the first of the four I talked to, you might think she's the one here to offer advice.
My last job was as a peer counselor at the Crisis Solution Center that's run by DESC. And I did that kind of work as a peer for about 5 years.
But in fact, Amy is a patient here.
When I was about 27 in 1987, I had my first break. I was going to school at the UW, and I ended up becoming very psychotic, and I ended up slitting my wrists. And at that time, they diagnosed me as bipolar with psychotic features. So I've been living with mental illness all these years.
Amy says she's also spent time at Western State Psychiatric Hospital, has been to Harborview quite a bit over the years, and has gone through electroconvulsive shock therapy twice, which she says has resulted in some short-term memory loss. This most recent hospitalization, which came a couple months ago, Amy says, was for a new diagnosis, schizophrenia. For Amy, the struggle is twofold. One is battling the illness itself. The other is feeling like very few people understand what she's dealing with.
It's kind of a loaded thing, having a diagnosis with the stigma and everything, and just all the things you have to go through when you have a brain disease like that. I just think of the kind of alienation I felt.
But this time during Amy's hospitalization, there was someone new that became part of her rehabilitation.
My name is Nancy Dow, and I am a part of the peer bridger team that works in the hospital.
Nancy came at a time when I was pretty psychotic and having some negative thoughts about some of my family circumstances. And she navigated that with me, but I guess coming from the standpoint of someone with schizophrenia.
Nancy Dow, just like every other peer bridger, is not only there to be a resource for the patient, she's also there because she's been through her own battle with mental illness.
I was misdiagnosed for 20 years, from the time I was 16 until I was 36. And so I went all that time with terrible symptoms that weren't ever alleviated because they were treating the wrong condition. When I turned 36, I went to a doctor who diagnosed me correctly, treated with me with the correct medication, and I responded very, very quickly. It's not that I haven't had symptoms since then, but they've been manageable.
Nancy says that having gone through that herself is very important to connecting with a patient.
There's almost an instant understanding between peers when they realize that although I'm on staff in the hospital, I carry a diagnosis of a mental illness. I live with the effects of that, and I have been hospitalized. And that does create a link up. It is almost a magical process sometimes that people won't know what a peer bridger or peer specialist is, and I won't even get a complete sentence out of my mouth before they'll say, oh, you get it.
It's kind of like the kind of bond that the veterans have It's kind of like that, because we have sort of like our war stories, but it creates a strength in us.
What a peer bridger does with and for the patient can vary. Terry Jo Putney has been a peer bridger for 5 years. She says a lot of the work happens after the patient leaves the hospital.
Sometimes they get foggy because they don't know where to go or how to get there, and teach them how to take a bus. And a lot of them have feel intimidated by going to appointments and need somebody just to sit with them.
Terry Jo says the majority of the patients she works with are homeless, so she'll also work with them to figure out their housing or maybe find them a prepaid cell phone. But at the heart of this program is the empathy between peer bridger and patient. Melanie Bell is a patient who was involuntarily committed and is in inpatient recovery.
A person that I thought was a friend of mine saw me going through what my doctor would call a manic state. I was sort of pouring out art. This person likens themselves an artist. They came in and saw my work and thought I was going crazy because I was doing something they had never been able to do. They then called my sister, who I haven't spoken to in 5 years, and had me involuntarily committed, lied to my mother, and she came along and, of course, was very worried when, you know, my friend and my sister were saying I was going crazy.
Part of the process of involuntary commitment is having a judge sign off on it. And while Melanie has been skeptical of some of her treatment, she says her relationship with her peer bridger, Carissa, is key to her recovery.
She's a woman of color, and she's a woman of color who's been through the social services system. She would go with me to appointments. She would make sure that I had phone numbers and applications met, and would constantly be on my other caregivers and telling them she doesn't have this, she needs this, over and over. I would watch her. I would come in for an hour appointment, and she would talk to three of my so-called caregivers and make sure that they were on the ball. It's the only way you can recover is if you have someone like Carissa on your team.
And the numbers seem to back that up. A study done after the first 2 years of the Peer Bridger program showed that patients in it saw a reduction in hospital days by more than 3 weeks. Enrollment in outpatient mental health services jumped from 29% to 70%, and enrollment in Medicaid nearly doubled. But peer bridgers like Terry Jo Putney say success for them is hardly statistical. She recalls a moment with a patient she says she'll never forget.
I took him down to the Goodwill and got him a sleeping bag. You know, he was just almost in tears that he got something warm to sleep out, and this is the middle of the winter. And that, to me, was the most joyful thing, to see him so excited that he got not a brand new sleeping bag, but a sleeping bag. And so I just talked to him just a little bit ago, and he told me that, and this was over a year ago that I worked with him, and he says, "Terry Jo, I want you to know I still have that sleeping bag." Even though he has housing, he says, "I still have my sleeping bag." And so that to me is so precious, you know, that the little things that we can do for them, they're very appreciated.